The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Last week, we reported that the US had paused a shipment of weapons to Israel. A senior official said that the US administration began to carefully review proposed transfers of particular weapons as they felt they might be used in a Rafah offensive. Now, we know a little more about the shipments, that they involve joint direct attack munitions, which convert dumb bombs into precision guided ones, as well as small diameter bombs. Now, joining me to talk about this is Fawaz Jerkes, who is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, good morning again.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, let's understand what this is. Is this some sort of warning across Netanyahu's bows? Is it a technical issue? Is it a deliberate public slap on the face for Netanyahu?
Well, it's really simply a political message. It's the first political message that Joe Biden has delivered to Netanyahu. I think this political message is designed to impress on Netanyahu and his war cabinet that the Americans want a ceasefire, and they want a ceasefire as soon as possible. It was really quite surprising when Netanyahu and his associates dismissed Hamas' declaration of accepting the ceasefire. The Americans came back and said, well, look, we examined both initiatives, the Hamas ceasefire approval and the Egyptian-Israeli-Qatari-American initiative, and there are very minor differences between the two, And we believe that these minor differences can be bridged. And this tells you exactly that the Biden administration is really pushing very, very hard for a ceasefire. And as we speak, you and I, Pat, the director of the CIA, William Burns, returned from Egypt and is meeting today with Netanyahu and his top officials. So the Americans are pushing very hard. If you really ask me from 1 to 10, what are the prospects for a ceasefire and a hostage deal, I would say it's about 7 out of 10. Not because Netanyahu wants a ceasefire and a hostage deal. He does not. But because the Americans really are fed up. They need a ceasefire because the war itself, Pat, has exacted a heavy political toll on President Biden in the United States and worldwide as well.
Now, what did you make of the Israeli contention that Hamas accepting the deal, such as it was a ruse to defer the incursion into Rafah?
Well, look, what do you expect the Israelis to say? What do you expect the Netanyahu-led government to say? Basically, they really were shocked. In fact, it was a nightmare scenario for Netanyahu and his, you know, extreme far-right religious coalition. They do not really want a ceasefire. Netanyahu's goal is absolute victory. The end of the war or even a long-term sustainable ceasefire could really mean the end of Netanyahu's political future, could really mean the collapse of his government. And many political observers and leading politicians in Israel are saying, look, Netanyahu has used all the tricks in his hat to really basically sabotage and undermine the talks, first in Qatar and then in Egypt. But I think now the Americans, I think, are beginning to have his number, and they're really pushing very hard. And the suspension of the first or the second arms shipments is a strong, well, it's a political message designed to let Netanyahu know that Joe Biden means business.
Now, a couple of things. We saw imagery provided by the IDF of the tanks rolling into Gaza. And one particular image taken from the turret of the tank showed the tank literally rolling over the sign that said Gaza with Palestinian flags on both sides of that sign. And it seemed to me to be unnecessarily destructive and also an act of, if you like, humiliation. And I'm wondering, was that deliberately released as a sop to the right wing?
You know, Pat, throughout this particular war, this war is not really just about killing Palestinian civilians. And it does. It has killed a lot of Palestinians, more than 35,000 Palestinians. It's also about really basically humiliating the Palestinians, destroying the idea of resistance on the part of the Palestinians, telling the Palestinians, look, we can crush you. It's all about really, I mean, the notion that the Palestinians can ever rise up and basically defy their occupier. But at the same time, I think you have a point here. Netanyahu has climbed very high. He has to climb down. I mean, there is no other way. Has he achieved absolute victory over Hamas? Has he broken the backbone of Hamas? Has he got back his hostages from Gaza? I mean, I think for your own listeners, Hamas is basically everywhere in Gaza, in northern Gaza, in central Gaza, in Khan Yunis. So even though Israel has been destroyed, has destroyed most of the Gaza Strip, Hamas continues to resist. So in a way, I think I see that what Israel has been doing and what it has done in the past 48 hours is also to send a message to the Israelis that we are winning. We have won. Look what we are doing. We are now at the Rafah crossing. This is a message for the right wing. It's a red meat message, yeah. But at the same time, it really means it's to really reinforce the message that we can crush the Palestinians, we can crush you and destroy you and kill you.
On Channel 4 News, there were two things that struck me last evening, and one was the interviews with the relatives of those hostages, and they all want a deal. They want their relatives to come home, and most of them, as interviewed by Channel 4, seem to indicate that, yes, a deal now, as soon as possible, send a serious negotiating team to Cairo. The other thing that struck me was a young man who was weeping. He was completely bereft, having lost quite a number of his family members, and he was surrounded by bodies shrouded in white. And he said, "We are not Hamas. I'm an ordinary Palestinian. I'm a construction worker." And I'm wondering, to what extent is there now a separation between the ordinary Palestinians and support for Hamas?
You know, Pat, really, throughout these horrible 7 months, I think there has been so much dehumanization and demonization. I mean, I think the families of the hostages, Israeli hostages, are heartbroken. They have been screaming and barking and impressing on Netanyahu and his far-right coalition, extremist coalition, to bring the hostages back. Netanyahu has come under tremendous pressure from inside Israel, not just the Biden administration, and yet he has been basically postponing the inevitable, trying to really, you know, go on the offensive as opposed to really somehow slowing down and reaching an agreement. On the part of the Palestinians, I think we really cannot absorb, we cannot really appreciate the extent of trauma, the pain, the suffering, the loss. I mean, this is not a war against Hamas. This is a war against Palestinian civilians. Call it whatever you want, the fog of war or the bloodiness of war or basically crimes against humanity or genocide. This war has been basically a bloodbath against the Palestinians, truly. And when this chapter is written in history, many people are, many scholars, many historians, many human rights activists are going to say, what has happened to our humanity as a whole? I mean, we can really sympathize, we should empathize with the hostages and their families. But where's our humanity? Where's the West, with the exception of Ireland and Spain and Belgium? Where's the humanity of the West, the human rights and what have you? And this is really what's missing from the narrative on the this bloody war in Gaza.
Finally, Joe Biden, in his Holocaust Memorial speech, pledged that, you know, in spite of their differences, and he seems to stress that there are current differences, that he will always have the back of the people of the Holocaust. You know, that is a kind of a mixed message, I suppose, but he was quite emphatic about that. And he did advert to the fact that people already seems to have forgotten October 7th.
Well, look, we all should never, ever forget the greatest crime in history, the Holocaust. I think it's sacred. We don't need Joe Biden to tell us that. This is really, I take it for granted. We should never lose sight of the fact, the greatest crime in world history. And guess what? It took place here in the heart of the West, in the heart of Europe, in Germany. But I would have liked President Biden also to show empathy and sympathy with the Palestinians who have been slaughtered like human animals in the past 7 months. Where's the humanity of Joe Biden when it comes to the Palestinians? 70% of the more than 100,000 Palestinians who have been killed and injured are children and women. Where's the humanity, Joe Biden? And I'm speaking here as an American. Of course, we need to remember the Holocaust. Of course, we should always say never again. But we should also remember that the killing, the horrible killing of 1,200 Israelis on the 7th of October never justifies the killing of and injuring of more than 100,000 Palestinians and the displacement of 1.8 million Palestinians and the destructions of life as we know it in Gaza, which has been it's the greatest and biggest open air prison in the world.
Fawaz, thank you very much for joining us. That's Fawaz Jurgis, who is Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.